This is Simply Lowai, and you're listening to The Expert with a Heart.
Welcome back to Simply Lowai, where we talk to the expert with a heart, Lowai Navlakhi, himself the star of the show. I've called you that too many times now, no?
You must call me that every time.
Every time. Yeah. Thank you for the note. We're actually now setting the stage for another interesting series coming up on the podcast, which is of a lesser known area of financial planning. Very important, might I say so, with my brief conversations in the matter. It is of transition financial planning. Now, Lowai Navlakhi is not only the expert with a heart on our podcast series, but also APAC, that is Asia Pacific's first ever certified financial transitionist. That make you feel powerful?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But I think more than that, it is, it makes me feel powerful.
It feels good. It feels good. Like a pat on the back. Yeah. Okay, so Lowai, let's get into setting the stage on this area of financial planning, why it's important both for investors, but also for financial advisors to take this into account, right? So again, tell us a little bit about when you first experienced the idea of transition financial planning and why you think it's so important in your financial or investor journey.
So I think before I talk about my story, I think it's important to recognize that as individuals in life, each one of us will go through maybe 55 to 60 transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is some of them just happen very naturally.
Yeah.
You go to college, you start working, you get married, and you move cities. Some of these seem like, yeah, that has to happen. But they are all transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, to understand that when you're dealing with yourself, first and foremost, as going through a transition, your behavior changes. A lot of emotion comes in the way of your decision making.
Yeah.
Or not wanting to make a decision yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of have to understand the personal side of money along with the technical side.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, as financial planners, we can make all the plans in the world. But if the client's not acting on the plan, then the plan is of really no use. And
yeah.
If there is science to help you to understand that there are certain nudges to be done at the right time, or there are times where you have to actually step back and not push the client to, doing something in a rush without having thought through, then that's what is necessary to happen.
Okay. And what inspired you to become APAC's first certified financial transition?
So it's a very personal story. It was about 2013. I had a very close friend who complained of a stomach ache one day. His wife said, let's go to the hospital, we'll get a checkup and come back home.
Mm-hmm.
12 weeks later, he was gone. He never came back home. And I was dealing with her and the finances, and said, let me set up meetings. And because there were a whole bunch of things that she was going through. She was mid-40s. One child was already studying abroad. One was about to go to the US for studies. He was running a business. She was helping him in that. And he had just invested in a new business 2 days before going to hospital, and so on and so forth. So I was setting up meetings with her, saying, we have these enormous number of tasks to go through. So we would set up long meetings. I was not making headway. I went to the US for a financial planning retreat. And, Susan Bradley, I had heard at a conference the previous year, and she was there at that retreat. So I happened to sit on her table. We had this concept called under the trees.
Okay.
So you carried your lunch and, picked, and that each table had different speaker or different topic to discuss while you are having your sandwich, apple and drink, that lunch,
yeah.
American lunch. And so I sat on a table,
yeah.
And they spoke about transition.
Hmm.
And, so a whole bunch of people were there who were going through this program. And I said, hey, one second, I've been dealing with someone who looks like having gone through a transition, because you said, death, divorce, sale of business are big transitions. So this is one of them.
Yeah.
I'm setting up these meetings. which I schedule for 2 hours, and they finish the rest of the conversation with me saying, this is how your meeting must be running. I was stunned. Yeah. And I said, how do you know this?
Hmm.
And they said, you know, for the past decade or so, we've been doing work on this. So we know this is what happens.
Hmm.
And, you know, my first reaction to Susan at that stage was, you should bring this program to India. She said, hey, 1 second, why don't you do this first before you think about, you know, India? Because I also felt that India as a country was going through transition.
Okay.
Till the early 90s, there was no wealth.
Hmm.
The entire markets were insulated till liberalization came. So you didn't care about, you know, what's going on in the US, what's happening in Venezuela, Singapore. You didn't care.
Hmm.
You only looked at India. You're very happy with all investments in India. You didn't have enough money, so you only invested to save taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The nuclear family was starting to grow.
Hmm.
And as a result, a whole bunch of other things that were beginning to happen. So I said, you know, and people were setting up businesses, you know, being in Bangalore, you know, lots of startups and people selling businesses. Oh, wow. You know, there is money and it's sudden money and people don't know how to deal with it. So there's a whole bunch of transition going on. And so, of course, so Susan said, do the program, and I enrolled and became India's first, I thought. And then I realized, oh, nobody on this side of the
Apex first.
Yes, Apex first. So maybe we should coin a bigger term and say non-US, non-Canada first or something.
All of the continents one by one. It's a really, you know, wonderful journey to that. Why do you think it's such an overlooked part of financial planning though? I did start by saying it's overlooked, very important, but at the same time, less spoken about. Why do you think that is?
I don't know the reason. I'm trying to figure it out myself. But
okay.
I would think that people like, you know, definitive answers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I studied, you know, subjects where you were asked to give us the 5 reasons why X, Y, Z. And if you didn't write those 5 reasons in that same order, you didn't get full marks. Right? So you want prescriptive solutions, particularly in India. So you're not really bothered about, hey, just tell me what's the answer to this. You know, tell me how to deal with a person who's going through this mindset change.
Yeah,
every person is different. So I think you need to, A, recognize that the human being and the human brain, while it's supposed to sort of behave in the same manner, does not. Because there is a different set of experiences that each person has, different ways that they interpret the same thing that's happening to different people. And therefore, you have to be able to be empathetic. You need to be curious. You need to be a little bit fluid in terms of interpretation of how to deal with that situation. Even though we may have been, and I have been exposed to various tools that exist in the transition program. You understand the stage the person is in, and so on and so forth. So there are some boundaries. Within which you can find solutions.
Hmm.
But the way you prescribe that solution is quite different for each transitionist and each client as well.
So is a certified financial transitionist for investors out there today someone that you should pursue and have on your side at the, you know, very start of your investment journey? Or
so, I mean, the biased answer is that yes, because you will go through transition.
Use me.
Right? You will always go through transition.
Yeah.
The important thing is for the advisor to have known you before you went through transition, because they can try and understand how you would behave if you went through transition.
Okay.
And what permissions they have from you to do something or not do something if they see your behavior. Which,
well, that's quite an intuitive, like, personal, interpersonal relationship thing.
It is. And at the end of the day, first and foremost, the Certified Financial Transitionist course sits on top of the financial planning or a CFA or a CIMA qualification.
Okay.
Because it is assumed that you understand the technical side of money. You know what you need for your retirement goal, for your child's education, for XYZ, holiday, etc., etc. Now we are trying to say, okay, you have all these goals and it's not just making a burger at McDonald's and it's all equal everywhere, right? So take this patty, put this bread, heat it to this. And it's not as simple as that. All those ingredients are there, but you have to figure out whether, you know, to give just the patty or not give the bread or give the bread and with sauce or without sauce and all of that. Right?
The allergies and all of that.
Yeah. So I think that's the crucial part. So the first stage is, yes, I know the money requirement. Now I want people to act and behave in the manner that I want them to behave. But I know that it won't be all straightforward because that person will go through transition. Forget them. We as advisors, we will be going through transition at different points in time. And we have to remember how we can remove our bias when we are advising somebody else. It's so easy to say, oh, I have been through this exact thing before, or I know someone else who's been through it. So here's a copy paste and that's disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think we are all, because of convenience, drawn to the idea of one size fits all. But then at the same time, it never works out when you...
And I think the important thing during transition is that, why did this happen to me? Am I alone? Am I the only person who has faced this? And I think having a transitionist to go to who will normalize this and try and communicate to you that you're not alone. We've been through similar situations before. Other clients have gone through this. And therefore, A, first and foremost, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Right? Two, that, you know, what is it that we can do for you so that we prevent you from making any decision that you might regret later? Because if you think about, and if the listeners can think about transitions that they've gone through, a more recent transition, something which is relatively larger, if you can think of, and if you can remember how you behaved, how you acted or didn't act on certain things at that point in time, this will probably make sense to you, that when you're going through transition is when your behavior and your traits are different. It's not that it's uniform for everybody, but some of the people may be totally numb. Some may be fractured focus. I'm jumping from one thing to the other. I'm remembering I have to do this for my exams, and at the same time, but for my mother I have to do X. So you're jumping from one to the other. Effectively, you're not doing anything, but you know your mind is wandering. The other situation is, I have so many things to do. I like making lists. I've made a huge list. I don't know where to start. So I'll shut the book and not do anything.
Yeah.
So I think the whole protocol for the transitionist is, can I make sure that the person does not take any decision that they will regret later? Can I keep them in a safe place? It's okay. So let's say you won a lottery.
Yeah.
You will suddenly find relatives, friends, everybody turning up, right?
Yeah.
And then the important thing is, okay, just switch off all this different advice that you're getting from people. Right? Because they're coming from their standpoint and saying, oh, you must do this because I know my aunt did XYZ or didn't do XYZ. So I think that's important. The other interesting protocol that we use is a term that we call balkanize. That what can we do? Can we help the client to move away from the heat of the moment, take them to the balcony so that they can take a view which is a little zoomed out and suddenly doesn't feel so like in your face?
Yeah. Balkanize is nice. I think that's even outside of financial planning, we can all do with a little bit of balconying sometimes.
We use balconizing.
I think that's great. And also winning the lottery seems like one of life's more pleasant transitions.
So the whole program actually started because of the study that 70% of lottery winners are bankrupt in 5 years.
Oh, fascinating.
Right? So anytime people get sudden chunks of money, they forget that it's sudden and it's one time. So you start getting used to the fact that I'll have friends over, I will go to the pub every day, I will go for XYZ spending.
Yeah.
And now you're used to that lifestyle and, oh, the lottery is not coming again.
That's what makes it so special, limited edition.
Yeah,
but okay, now you're perfectly segueing me into my next question, which is to bring it back to our guest, in fact, Susan Bradley, who you just spoke about, of Sudden Money Institute fame. She's going to be joining us on the upcoming podcast where we explore the different facets of transition financial planning. So tell us a little bit about, of course, what struck you about her approach to financial planning and why we want to have these conversations with her.
So I think what I've realized over time as I interact with her is that every time I interact with her, she has this calming experience. And I think, again, it's one of the protocols of transition, learning, which is to listen and to actively listen. So she is so calm, allowing you to speak and pour your heart out. And she will interject after you finish speaking with, you know, very short, simple sounding questions, which are deep, but get you to open up, open up, open up. And you just feel so calm in her presence. And that's something that I think as Indians, we are very used to speaking quickly, not allowing the other person to finish, knowing exactly what the other person is going to say, and here's my response to what you're going to say. And I've got myself caught out a few times when I'm with the group of the CEFTs in the US, where I've done this, where somebody has been speaking and I say, hey, I know that's what, that's what you're going to talk of. So I know I had this experience and, you know, this is the way I would have dealt with it. And you're listening calmly because you've been trained a little longer than I have. And then you turn around and say, actually, that's not what I was going to say. And I say, oops, you know. So I think we all ought to say this on my podcast, but we all like to hear our own voice and we should know when to shut up. So
fair enough. But that's, yeah, very valuable, especially when someone is probably going through those transitions and they can be difficult ones. I think that is an extremely important. We're going to get a sneak peek into that calm demeanor of hers on the upcoming podcast. But to end with one final thought, Lobai, why do you think, I've asked you this a little bit before, but why do you think people are so apprehensive? What would you say is the right time for someone to hire a certified financial transitionist?
So, okay, so I think first and foremost, for most financial advisors, when they are seeking to grow in their profession, one of the sort of life planning skills is something that they would definitely add on.
Yeah.
And while we are talking about transition, there are a couple of other schools that exist in the US. And we talk about US because financial planning started in the US in the 70s. So it had a 30-year lead over India and still has the largest number of financial planners in the world.
Right.
So they've had a few other schools on life planning, which is basically trying to understand the why of whatever each individual does.
Okay.
And I mean, that goes so much deeper than, okay, tell me how often do you want to go abroad for a holiday, or, you know, how much money do you need every month if you have to retire today? Okay, so that's mathematical. And initially, 20 years ago, when financial planning came to India, it was a big aha moment to say, oh, you know, you need 18.45 crores to meet, you know, your retirement goal. But this is if you invest X amount per month, you're home and dry, don't worry. And those numbers seemed very large. And the good thing is, over these 20 years, we've seen people actually achieving large numbers, going well past those numbers, and then saying, oh, okay, we sort of underestimated certain things, right? And life happened in between, and changes happened, and of course, pandemic happened in between. So, whole bunch of things have happened. So, I think for advisors, the logical thing from doing the number crunching piece would be to now let me try and understand the people and go deeper in the relationship. Because at the end of the day, people, as they say, that, you know, I've had one of my clients saying, I don't want you to take my money, I want you to take care of my money. And therefore, I think people really put a lot of importance on how much you care rather than, you know, how much you dare, maybe. So you have to be a little, find ways by which you can engage better.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I can engage with you, okay, let's go and have coffee and we'll be all fine if we are all going through normal day-to-day life and we don't have any transition situation we are going through. The moment we get into one, it will not be the same you, it will not be the same me. So am I able to pick that up? And if there is science, and this program has been in existence for more than 2 decades now,
yeah,
as well. So there's a lot of science in understanding how people behave, what sort of traits do you see, and how do you normalize that trait? How do you make the person think of what would the opposite feel like to you? Right now you're feeling numb, or you're feeling, you know, like a fractured focus in terms of your approach. What would the opposite mean to you? Or if you were like this, what would it feel? So suddenly the person saying, oh, in all this doom and gloom, someone's here who's showing me, oh, there is a greener side to it, and look at the positives as well. And we'll get you there. It may not be a quick, easy journey, but yes, we'll get you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will get you there on the next couple of episodes of Simply Lovi. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. But you've got to stay tuned to, you know, really explore this wealth of wisdom that's going to come through the conversations between Lovi and Susan and myself as well. Lucky to be a part of those. But now Lovi and I are going to go drink some coffee.
That was an episode of the Simply Lovi podcast series. Expert with a heart.